Well, this morning's all about stories. The greatest story ever told. And this morning we're celebrating that story. But there's been a story that has been hitting the news more than any other in the last week or so. And it's an old story as well. The story of Titanic. And last night there was a massive light show in Belfast, and I think 30,000 people were down for it, down in the new Titanic Centre. And it is incredible that after 100 years, this story has really gained new life, new momentum, and has taken on a totally different feel to it and a totally different purpose. Over the last week, we've been thinking of an even greater story. We began on Palm Sunday, really thinking about Jesus arriving in Jerusalem and the welcome that he received. Through this week, we've been thinking about Jesus' love, about the love of Christ for people, about how he was mocked. We've been thinking about the Passover and how he was betrayed and the way that he gave his body and his blood for each one of us. And then on Friday, concentrating on the cross, on the message that the blood of Christ changes things totally. And now we have reached the grand finale, Resurrection Day, that Jesus is risen. The story of Christ is the greatest story ever told. And I was standing in a queue in Greens during the week, and they were talking about that other story, Titanic. And I've got a picture of the Titanic from the newspaper of 100 years ago. That's why I'm down here, so as I can take it round and let you see that 100 years ago, this was the story in the news. And the people in Greens were chatting about, well, what is the best retelling of the story? Is it the current TV series? Well, I've read a couple of thumbs down from these two guys. They didn't think very highly of it. Was it the story with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio? And I don't think that they rated it very highly. They rated the movie that came out before I was born, which kind of shocked me, A Night to Remember. Maybe you remember that movie. Kenneth Moore was in it, and they gave it the vote as being the best retelling of the story. And it's certainly said to be the most accurate and the most full retelling of the story of Titanic. It was produced by a man from Belfast, and it was the biggest grossing film for that film company at the time. And of course, it won many awards. A Night to Remember. And really, we on Friday had a more important night to remember. Good Friday is the very centre of the Christian faith. It is the moment whenever we hear those cries going up from the crowd of crucify him, crucify him. And the sinless Son of God goes to the cross, and we remember his death. We remember how he paid the price for our sins. And that day changed history more than anything else ever could. We remember Jesus, a night and a day to remember. I mentioned the movie that came out a few years ago, the Titanic movie by James Cameron, and it was a massive hit at the time. And maybe you remember the scene where they're at the very front of the ship, and Leonardo DiCaprio is Kate Winslet in his arms, and he calls out, I'm the king of the world! And the music flows and all of that kind of stuff. He wasn't the king for very long because he drowned in the story. But we have a king who lasts forever. The real king of the world, the world's true king. Romans 1 verses 4 and 5 says, Jesus was shown with great power to be the Son of God by being raised from the dead. Through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Christ, in order to lead people of all nations to believe and to obey. The King of the world is not dead. He is alive. The cross was only the beginning of new life for all who look to the King of the world. The resurrection demonstrates that Jesus always was the Son of God, and now has been powerfully and publicly declared to be the Messiah, the world's true King. The risen Jesus was then given his place in heaven, seated at God's right hand. And just going beyond those verses that Tony read to verse 19. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. So Jesus, given his rightful place as King over the world at the right hand of God in heaven, he is enthroned, and he is at work in the lives of his followers. In the days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit empowers those surprised and dispersed followers to take out the message, the good news of the risen King. And in response, people's hearts are softened, and many respond by enthroning Jesus as King of their lives. And at the heart of Mark's resurrection message is the idea that when the crucified and risen King is invited in, all things are possible for those who believe. That's the difference that the King of Kings makes. Whether it is in the day-to-day, in our day-to-day lives, that we need the risen King, or if it's at a time of struggle, well then he is with us, and he is the King who will remain with us no matter what we are facing. He is the King of Kings, and have we enthroned him in our lives? I said that last night was the light show down at the Titanic dock. And it was interesting watching it on the net as it happened. And there were lights sort of that depicted water, and then there were lights that depicted the engine room, and there were lights that depicted the funnel and the funnels on the Titanic, and the steam and the fire coming out of them. There were lights of all kinds as the Titanic then sunk. The Titanic, as it sank on its first voyage, we thought that that was the end of the story. That all the work that had been put into it by such skilled people in Harland and Wolff had ended up in a watery grave. But now we're seeing that actually there is a comeback. Titanic is probably more famous now than it was 100 years ago. And the Titanic is part of the story of new life that is happening in Belfast and that is happening throughout this land. It's drawing more people here in terms of tourism, in terms of bringing life to an area that was previously derelict and really used for nothing. There's light shows happening, there's Titanic tours, there's museums, there's plays, there's musicals, there's jobs being created. Tourism is on the up. Restoration has taken place, and it's a great story. But there's an even greater story. The story of the greatest comeback in all of history. Jesus Christ is alive today. Easter is really all about new life. And I've been watching the Passion Play, and I was in Chester at the end of last year, and we went around Chester Cathedral, and they're doing a passion play next year. I guess the one that stuck in my memory was one last year that was performed by Michael Sheen, who's acted as Tony Blair and I think as President Bush. And in his hometown, he took the role of Jesus in the passion play. And that passion play really was set in the modern day and showed the figure of Jesus walking amongst ordinary people in Port Talbot. And it was a good reenactment of the story and bringing it to up to date and relating the risen Jesus to people today. The real and accurate story of Jesus, of Easter, is that Jesus is alive. We hear it in Mark 16 and verse 6. "Don't be alarmed," the angel said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And that was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true today, that Jesus is risen. And he's at work in the lives of people today. A couple of weeks ago, we had our confirmation service, and one of the most moving parts of it was the testimonies that those coming for confirmation gave. And it was great to hear those different testimonies of how God's been at work in a couple of teenagers and in a young mother. And great stories to hear. And the story of Jesus coming alive means that it requires a response. We need perhaps to pray four things. First of all, to thank him for dying on the cross for us. Secondly, to confess the wrong things in our lives. Thirdly, to open the door of our lives and trust in Jesus. And fourthly, to thank him for coming into our lives, to bring us alive by having a relationship with him. A relationship where he has paid the price for all of our sins. Now, when we do that, then we truly are alive in Christ, and he's reigning in our hearts and lives. That truly is the way to new and everlasting life. I love the stories and the testimonies that we heard here, but I also love the story of a young man called Josh. And Josh was a guy who was, really on the go all of the time. He was very busy. He had no time for religion or anything like that. But as he was sort of going through school and college, he couldn't get Jesus off his mind. And despite himself, he invited Jesus in. And once he had invited Jesus in, within a few weeks, he entered into a debate with his history teacher. And of course, history teachers are experts about all kinds of theories and thoughts from the past. And this history teacher said to him, "Are you trying to tell me that God has really changed your life today?" And he said to him, "Okay, well, tell me what areas." Well, Josh started telling him the areas that had changed in his life. And he told him, one area after another, after another, and after another, and after another. And after 45 minutes, the history teacher said, "Okay, I've heard enough." Obviously, the life of Josh had changed amazingly. He had a new sense of peace inside, a peace that he had never had. In his busyness, he just really didn't have time for that inner peace. He was always darting off from one thing to the next, not thinking very much, and never really had time to know an inner peace. And he had a terrible temper. He was always flying off the handle and getting into trouble. And suddenly, his temper was under control. But there was an area that he was really struggling with. He hated someone. He hated his father. And his father wasn't a nice person. His father was an alcoholic. He was a man who would beat up Josh's mother. Whenever Josh was having people around, he would literally have to lift him out of a drunken stupor and really lock him out of the way so as he could have anybody in the house. And Josh knew that this was his cross. How could he deal with this? And yet, God did a work within him. And he started to love his dad. And through an accident, Josh actually had to come back home. So he had to live with this man again. And he was stuck there. But he knew that he had to be different. And over the weeks, he just was true to his calling to be alive in Jesus. He showed his dad that he loved him. And after a number of weeks, he talked to his dad about Jesus. And within an hour, his dad too had accepted Jesus. And he became a changed person. He became a new person. And this doesn't happen very often, but this change in his dad happened almost immediately. More often than not, it's a process that happens. And Jesus is alive and he's changing people today. Today, this Easter day, we need to rejoice in that. He told his disciples he was going to rise again. And he wanted to make sure that they got the message. So three times in Mark 9 and 10, we read that he said that he was going to die and he would rise again. He was going to rise again. He was going to rise again. He was kind of saying to these guys, got the message? And they hadn't got it. He has so much love for us that he can enter lives and forgive sins. And then he changes us from the inside out. The key thing is that by his resurrection, he has defeated death and evil. He is risen. And because he lives, we can be changed and can live forever too. But the choice is ours. In a few moments, we're going to sing these words. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. O happy day, O happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. O happy day, O happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. The greatest story ever told is the story of Jesus. We are all required to ask ourselves what difference this story makes to our lives. Is it just a great story that makes no lasting difference to it? Or is it the greatest story ever told because it changes lives from the inside out and it's changed your life from the inside out? A story that brings you alive because Jesus is alive and is living in you. Today, may you know that's truth. May you take those steps, if you haven't before, of coming before God in prayer and making that change in your life and knowing the risen Saviour with you, whatever you are facing. And my prayer for you is that the risen Saviour will reign in your life as your King forever. Let's bow our heads as I use the prayer that that young man Josh prayed all those years ago. As I pray these words, if you want to make them your own, I pray that the Holy Spirit will make you new from the inside out. Lord Jesus, I remember how you died on the cross for my sin. I see from your empty tomb how you rose again. I know you are alive today through the lives you have changed. I open the door of my life and trust you as my Saviour and as my King. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. I invite you as my risen Lord to live in me and to make me the kind of person you want me to be. I give my life to you and ask you to guide me forevermore.